familiar with the hero last night. Tyler Hero, 20 years old. Stephen A. Smith, Max Keller.
You called it.
I'm Molly Karam Rose. Yep, you put us up on him early.
I got a call from my father yesterday. This Tyler Hero before the game. I says what Stephen A.'s been saying on TV.
37 points. Unbelievable.
Kid is special.
Handing Boston another L. Miami, one win shy of competing for that Larry O'Brien trophy. Max, are you ready to concede now? Come on. East is over.
Yep. It's over. This series is over.
I'm sorry to say it.
I took the Celtics in seven. I thought Gordon Hayward would be available for this series. He wasn't in the first two games. And I still believe, were he available, this is going seven. Whoever wins, even when I took the Celtics, Celtics in seven.
Yeah.
Whoever wins, this would be going seven with Hayward. Let's look what happened. First game, the Heat won by, no Gordon Hayward, Heat won by a possession. Second game, Heat won, no Gordon Hayward, by two possessions. Third game, Celtics won by 11 points. Hayward just came back. So from a one possession and a two possession game, now the Heat, when they give their full, the Celtics, made their full crew, 11 point win. And then last night, one possession. As much as it felt like Miami was in control, Tyler Hero was unbelievable, all those things, at the end of the game, and by the way, the Celtics wouldn't go away. It was like, okay, the game's over. Oh, no, the game's not over. Okay, now the game's, no, the game's not over. Oh, they better hit this free throw. And at the end of the game, there was almost 2 seconds left for the Celtics to hit a game-tying three. Now, they really didn't get a chance to shoot the ball. Credit the Heat. That's a one-possession game. Mm-hmm. So all I know is when both teams are at full strength, it's 1-1. Celtics win by 11. Heat win by three. Heat win by a possession. I'm not saying the Celtics, if they would have had Hayward, they would have won the series. But I feel like his injury in the first two games robbed us of a classic seven-game series, which I no longer think is going to go the distance.
Well, listen, let me tell you something. It still could go the distance. I just think that Miami is going to win this series. That's why I picked them to win in seven games. I thought they'd lose last night and then win two of the next three, obviously, and still close out. And I still think it's possible that Boston could push this to a seventh game because they got that kind of talent, and I think these talents are closely aligned with one another. But I'm glad that Tyler Hero has put everybody on notice what this brother is and what he brings to the table. I've told y'all before, Hero and Duncan Robinson, because Duncan is a specialist. Mm-hmm. There are very, very few specialists in the world of professional sports. That's what he is. Duncan Robinson shoots from the parking lot, okay? This brother pulls up from anywhere. And any given moment on any given day, he might score 1 point one day and then drop 8 3-pointers another game. You just don't, he just has that kind of conscience. He can shoot better than 40% from three-point range with ease. Tyler Hero is a baller. Duncan Robinson is a specialist in terms of a shooter. Hero can ball. He moves without the basketball. He cuts to the basket. He can finish at the basket. He can pull up mid-range, and he clearly can pull up long range. 5 of 10 shooting from three-point range, 14 to 21 shooting overall. 37 points, and everything wasn't a jump shot. Let's keep that in mind. So Miami, I'm here to announce to the world, we still assume that the Lakers are going to come out of the West, even though we can't sleep on the Denver Nuggets. Jamal Murray, don't feel disrespected. We know the Denver Nuggets can ball. We know they have, you know, they can make this a series in the Western Conference. They win game four tonight. We get all of that. But assuming, being presumptive, and I thinking that LeBron James is going to end up in the championship, in the finals, let me put the world on notice. It is not a foregone conclusion that they would beat a Miami Heat squad. Oh, it is not a foregone conclusion. When they get rolling.
Really?
No.
When these playoffs started, the Miami Heat were definitely a team you could look at and say they might go all the way. And credit to you for picking out Hero before the game last night.
Right.
Hero's, that's exactly right. One guy's a specialist.
But let me say one thing.
Duncan Robinson's a sick shooter.
Yeah, he's a specialist.
But Tyler Hero is a baller.
Let me say one thing to you, though. This is the thing that kills me. Once again, the Miami Heat played zone most of the game. Yeah. And I mean, Jason Tatum was scoreless in the first half. All 28 of his points came in the second half. They seem to have figured it out to some degree, and obviously they made it a game. But for some reason, the zone has given them problems. They've been turning over the ball entirely too much, and that ended up being the Achilles heel outside of Hero last night. You don't see this in the NBA. You don't see a team playing
Darren
the zone
Kemba.
That long.
They don't want Tatum to beat them. They're daring Kemba, basically. I just want to get back to Tyler Hero for a second. This dude was doing it every which way. You said bombing threes, but that's not all. That's right. He was Euro-stepping. into the lane. He was hitting crunch time free throws. He was doing it every which way. And part of the reason I think he was disguised early on in this season, oh, yeah, he's a nice shooter, as not really a great player, is because he's so young. He's 20
new.
Years old.
Yeah.
He's 20 years old and developing before our eyes. And in these playoffs, we've seen this throughout the league. We saw Jamal Murray take that, not just a jump, a leap from that might be an all-star kind of player to, whoa, what's that? That's a great franchise-level player. Tyler Hero, he's a nice little piece. Wait a minute. That dude might be the best player on the team one day. And by the way, he was last night. This has been an amazing playoff for young players breaking out on a national stage.
Can I say one thing to you? You know what's going to happen. Kind of like inside storyline when we're going to the finals and stuff. We'll always be like, hey, where are we going to be? Where are we going to end up? It's going to be Miami and L.A. And we're not going to be in either city.
No, it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt. Make no mistake about that. It's going to hurt my
we
heart.
We never expected
I am
it
going
to be,
really to be
Miami
in
God
LA.
Has, God
Miami
has a sense
a
of humor.
Horse.
Stephen A. Smith was praying that we were going to get one day an L.A.-Miami championship.
Yeah, we didn't think it'd be this.
And the basketball god said, okay, here you go.
And be clear, I've been praying about this for a decade.
You finally got it?
Yeah, I remember. I mean, when LeBron arrived in Miami, I was like, can you get him there, Kobe? Can you get him there?
Luckily,
can
you
get
him there? You got that big house, so you can watch it on your big TV.
Something like that, something like that. But or I might be in L.A. at that particular moment in time during the finals. But I know it's going to hurt.
Yeah.
But I've been covering the NBA for 20 years, okay? And let me tell you something. To sit up there, or actually more closer to 25, and to sit up here right now after all of these years of traveling, I've been in Utah, okay? Golden State, I mean, Oakland and the Bay Area is nice, but I'm not a Bay Area kind of guy, even though I love Oakland more than San Francisco. But I got to take Cleveland, and it's Miami and L.A.
You don't think I want to be at the Clevelander with the crowd? I want to be there,
Here's the good news. Here's the good news for you about Miami. This team, where in the beginning of the season, you look at Jimmy Butler and Goran Dragic, and you go, they put, you know, Pat Riley pushed his chips to the middle of the table. He's going for it now, but what's the future?
Yep.
Bam, Tyler Hero. The future is bright in Miami.
No question.
It's not only now, it's going forward. They're set up.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5X miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Many in the sports world are absolutely devastated today after the Breonna Taylor case decision. A number of athletes expressed frustration about Wednesday's grand jury decision in Kentucky to not move forward with charges against any officers for their role in the death of Breonna Taylor. A grand jury in Louisville indicted one police officer for shooting into neighboring apartments. Officer Brett Hankinson was charged with 3 counts of wanton endangerment. The FBI is still investigating potential violations of federal law in the case. Let's get to some player reaction on this decision. LeBron James tweeting this, I've been lost for words today. I'm devastated, hurt, sad, mad. We want justice for Breonna, yet justice was met for her neighbor's apartment walls and not her beautiful life. Was I surprised at the verdict? Absolutely not, but damn it, I was, and still am hurt and heavy-heartened. I send my love to Breonna's mother, family, and friends. I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. The most disrespected person on earth is the black woman. I promise you, I'll do my best to change this as much as I can and even more. Love you to my queens all over this country and beyond. Here's more reaction.
I think it's some BS that they let that go down like that. I think everybody knows what's supposed to happen. I think everybody knew what was gonna happen, unfortunately. But you know, that's our country for you, to tell you the truth. Very, very sad, man, and I hate to see it. We all hate to see it.
It doesn't surprise me at all. Until we dismantle, recreate, or you know, change this system that we have, it's gonna continue to have victims, you know, like Breonna Taylor and others that you know, fall victim to oppression.
We wear Breonna Taylor's name on the back of our jerseys for a reason. And it's something that we've been fighting for this entire time we've been in this bubble. And we're just going to continue to fight.
Stephen A., let me start by saying this. I know that Black America isn't a monolith. Everyone's independent singers. But I'm sorry, because I know how much your community is hurting today.
I appreciate it. Obviously, the black community is hurting over this, but I think that it's important that we put things in perspective. I gave a closing comment on my SportsCenter show last night, and, you know, you feel, first of all, for her family, her loved ones. She's dead. She's gone. She was 26 years of age. She was unarmed. She was in her apartment. And the fact that she ended up dead is just as tragic as it gets. So I hear where LeBron James is coming from. I hear where all of these athletes are coming from. I'm sure the world has heard where I'm coming from as well on this and what have you. But having said all of that, you don't want to use the words light at the end of the tunnel because she's gone and there is no light for her. But if we really, really want to address this with the fervor that it deserves, let's make sure we point our fingers in the right direction. The officers had a legal search warrant. They had a legal search warrant because once upon a time, according to that, we just had our researcher here. Y'all know Chuck Solitaro and the research department. They're on top of everything for us, so we're good to go.
Yes.
Here's the specific point that folks need to understand. The important part to mention is that the police got the warrant to Breonna Taylor's apartment because they say they once saw her ex-boyfriend leave her apartment with a package. That's how they got the warrant. They had the warrant because they had reason to suspect her ex-boyfriend was hiding drugs and or money there, which is potential evidence. So they went to the premises with a legal search warrant. Now, the issue comes into question because the police are saying they knocked and they identified themselves in a state where there are no knock warrants allowed. So they didn't have to identify themselves, but because they said they did, and there was one corroborating witness who validated that they identified themselves, even though there were 12 other witnesses that swore otherwise, okay? The Attorney General for the state of Kentucky, Mr. Daniel Cameron, decides to side with, who is a black man, who decides to go on that one person that said they heard the police identify themselves, so the no-knock warrant didn't apply here. And as black people, here's what we're looking at. We're looking at the fact that an innocent, unarmed woman ended up dead, period. Just like black men, George Floyd and others who were unarmed, dead, period. That's how we're looking at it. From an emotional perspective, yes. From laws needing to be changed, yes. From the position of the police officer, the boyfriend who was in attendance, Kenneth Walker, swears that he did not hear the police identify themselves. And so when they busted into his property, okay, he shot one police officer in the leg. And obviously the police officers supposedly returned fire, and that's how Breonna Taylor ended up getting shot and killed. What I would like the NBA players, what I would like NFL players, what I would like the entire sports world, from the commissioners to the owners, on down to executives, to the players, to society as a whole, to recognize is where the real problem lies. The real problem lies in the law. Because let me read something to you, Max Kellerman. Stand Your Ground laws, y'all remember that?
Yeah.
Okay, Trayvon Martin.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that 35 states have stand your ground laws in place? One of them's Kentucky. At least 16 or 17 states have a license to carry. One of them's Kentucky. And then you combine that with a no-knock warrant state like Kentucky? That's a powder cake. Mm-hmm. You're telling me that somebody can knock on my door, bust in my door, never identify themselves as police officers, and in that same state, I have a license to carry, and I have stand your ground laws? That's a recipe for disaster. The point that I'm trying to make is we need to know that, and when we're addressing this issue and really talking about provoking and ultimately implementing the change we all covet, you can start right there. You can get those laws eradicated immediately. You can push your state legislators to address that. You can lobby to have those things change, Max. Because if you do that, then when something like this happens, you don't have, at least in some people's eyes, you don't have an attorney general that appears to be handcuffed because these are the laws in the state that he has to capitulate to. Now, there are others who make an argument against him on that point, and I'm not equipped to debate that one way or the other because I just don't know. We're learning all of this as we go along. But what I will say is that it is clearly obvious that to some degree he felt handcuffed because of the laws that clearly favored the police officers who had a legal search warrant. And since there was no footage, no video, and that's another issue for another day, what he had to go on is what he went on. These are the laws that need to be addressed. And when you talk about really, really creating change, that's how you can do it, by attacking these laws and getting them eradicated. Floor is yours.
And how do you do that, Stephen A? One way. Vote.
Vote.
I want to talk about that.
Sure.
What you brought up about Breonna Taylor's ex-boyfriend, this is frequently a narrative in the media when something like this happens, when there is a prevailing sense, particularly among African Americans, but not just among African Americans, that there hasn't been justice served. A demonization of the victim occurs, and people will say, they'll go into the past and they'll find something that suggests this person isn't perfect, and parenthetically, the implication is, hey, what can you expect? They had it coming, or it's okay. Mm-hmm. What I would say is, there seems to be a much higher tolerance for that among many Americans, the acceptance of that when the victim is black.
Mm-hmm.
What if the victim were white? And what black people seem to be reacting to today, what I feel today, is that there is supposed to be equal protection under the law. A little history lesson. In the wake of the Civil War, there was the 14th Amendment, which guarantees equal protection under the law. And there was something called Reconstruction. The United States of America literally had to send federal troops into southern states to make sure that white people treated black people right, to make sure that the law was upheld, because there was a real will to not uphold the laws and not to treat black people as people, because they hadn't been. They'd been chattel until then. That failed. Reconstruction failed because of a Southern willfulness that they did not want to be told how to treat black people, certainly not as equals, not with equal protection under the law. And then came Jim Crow, the Jim Crow era. What would you hear people say, slavery, Reconstruction, Jim Crow? What was Jim Crow? Well, after the withdrawal of federal troops and Plessy, the case Plessy versus Ferguson in the late 1800s, the Supreme Court ruled that equal protection of the law, you could have separate but equal. So you could have separate schools and transportation and restaurants and whatever else for black people, neighborhoods, as long as it's equal. Equal protection under the law, the 14th Amendment, just means that they have to be equal. They don't have to be together. But of course, local Southern governments made sure that there was no equality. It was separate but unequal. What black people are reacting to today, I think, is a prevailing sense that it is still that now we're together, but still unequal. There's a lack of equality under the law. Now, why is this significant and how does this relate to voting? Because during Jim Crow, what Southern states did was purge black people from voter rolls. How did they do this? A literacy test. Mm-hmm. Black people were kept illiterate during slavery. It was literally illegal for a black person to learn how to read most times. It was contraband, mm-hmm. the knowledge of just knowing to read. Now, suddenly, a whole generation is supposed to, you know, clearly it's meant to get rid of black people from the voter rolls. As a matter of fact, poor white people, in some circumstances, were allowed to vote. It was the grandfather clause. Well, if you've already voted, you don't need to be literate, right? But if you're black, you need to be literate. There were polling taxes you had to pay. There's all kinds of ways to get rid of black people so that during Jim Crow, in many southern states, black voter rolls went to almost zero, virtually zero. They were completely barred from public life or having any say in local governments. Now, why is that significant today? If you want equal protection under the law, why is it significant today? Because there's a movement afoot to do that again. There's enormous voter suppression by the party currently in power in the executive and the Senate. Enormous voter suppression efforts. including gerrymandering. Yes, it's called Gary, not Jerry, but it's actually pronounced Gary. Including gerrymandering, but many others, including the president, trying to dissuade people from voting by mail. And in Emerson polling data from several, this is in June, found that in Florida, for example, which is could be a swing, a huge percentage of Democrats said they wouldn't vote if they couldn't vote by mail, and so they're being discouraged from voting by mail. What does all this mean? During Jim Crow, black people had zero political power because that was taken away. Today, vote. If you're mad, if you feel that there's not equal protection under the law, make sure that you count. Mm-hmm. We're in an election year, an election month coming up. Mm-hmm. Vote. Vote as soon as you can and make sure your vote counts.
That last part I'm not sure I agree with, but I got a lot to say about what Max just said, and I appreciate where you're coming from.
Of course.
That last part, I don't know. Let's get back.
And LeBron is really working on that, galvanizing the troops with the More Than a Vote movement. I do think it's important to mention, before I wrap this up, guys, it's ironic that on the day of this ruling in the Breonna Taylor case, it happens to be the anniversary of the day when an all-white jury in 1955 acquitted the men who murdered Emmett Till. 65 years later, the same pain existing for black people. I will never understand the depths of it, but I will always stand with you.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take pod. Have a fabulous day.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Welcome back to First Take. If you're just joining us, many in the sports world are hurting today. A number of athletes expressing extreme frustration and pain about Wednesday's grand jury decision in Kentucky to not move forward with charges against any officers for their role in the death of Breonna Taylor. A grand jury in Louisville indicted one police officer, Brett Hankinson, on 3 counts of wanton endangerment for shooting into neighboring apartments. The FBI is still investigating potential violations of federal law in the case. Let's hear from some of the athletes on this decision.
It's frustrating. I kind of felt like we knew what was going to happen, and then it's still, when it happens, it's sad. It's frustrating. It's been 194 days, still no justice. Still having to fight for the same thing. It was just a lot to process. It's a tough day. Tough day for all of us.
I think we're being heard. But obviously the goals that we're trying to achieve, we're very far away from after seeing today's verdict. It was a disappointment. We felt like we've not saying taken a step back, but we haven't made the progress we were seeking on. Our voices aren't being heard loud enough.
There's just so much violence, and it's demoralizing when we can't be accountable or hold anyone to account for it. And the really demoralizing thing is we have a really powerful movement that's happening. We have so many people who care about this country and so many people who want change and believe in equal justice for black and brown communities, and yet we don't have it.
Steve Kerr, certainly a champion of his players. Super Bowl champion Damian Woody with us now. You look very nice.
Thank you.
I want to start with you, Stephen A., though, and I want to talk about the sports world specifically. What more can they do?
I think we just need to keep our eyes on the ball and do what they've been doing, but just intensify it and be strategic more so than emotional. I think it's incredibly important. Not to say that they haven't been. I'm just simply saying that's something that they need to continue
to do. Move with strategy, not
emotion. All right, let's get to a couple of things here. First of all, I want to make sure that I point this out because for research last night, this is the information that I had. In the wake of the Breonna Taylor shooting in March, and of course later George Floyd's killing, and ultimately the protest, the Louisville Metro Council actually voted on June 11th, 2020, to ban no-knock warrants in Louisville, Kentucky. All 26 council members co-sponsored the ordinance, which was called Breonna's Law. So I want to point that out, number one. Number two, we also have to, from a legal perspective, understanding that this attorney general, who is black, who I pointed out, appeared to be a bit handicapped by the law, no-knock warrants, license to carry, stand your ground laws, being in that state and what have you, he's operating behind the eight ball, some would say. But then again, when you take the front stage that he took during the Republican National Convention,
yes,
obviously that came along with its critics because people are politicizing this more so than ever before. Number three, Breonna Taylor's family, certainly no knock on them, but let's understand what transpired here. My understanding is that they reached a civil agreement before the criminal case was decided, before it was fully investigated. And there are people who speculated that by reaching an agreement on a civil portion of the case prior to an announcement about the criminal charges, that might have compromised things to some degree because it might have disincentivized people to really dig into this and the officers that may deserve to be obviously treated like, you know, one officer anyway that should have been handled significantly differently, that may have prevented that from doing being the case. So we got to point that out. Last but not least, I want to get to Max's point. We saw the president of the United States on national television yesterday, and this, I don't believe this has anything to do with him per se, but what he said yesterday and the timing with which he said it, it deserves to be mentioned. He was asked about a peaceful transition. He would not commit to a peaceful transition of office in the event that he lost the election. And he brought up what Max alluded to, the mail-in ballots and what have you. Yep. I said this on First Take weeks ago. I said it months ago. I'm going to say it now. These are incredibly strained times. If you can get to the polls, get to the polls.
That's fine, unless, what if you can't?
I understand. If you can't, you can't.
And so what do you do if you can't?
You mail in your vote. You mail
you
your
have
vote.
To mail
sure.
in your vote.
You have
okay.
to mail in your vote.
And we're on the same page.
But what I'm saying to you is that if you can get there,
yeah.
no matter what, I understand, because it's so dicey right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's so dicey that if you don't, if you rely on a mail-in vote, clearly he has let you know what his strategy is
yep.
in terms of protesting and refute whatever results
yeah.
come in, unless they're in his favor.
And I was glued to the news yesterday. I saw the decision in real time and also watched the president as well. Damian, I want to get to you, though, and I just kind of want to reset the table here. Again, being a former athlete, what more can the sports world do? And I know they're doing plenty.
Yeah. first of all, let me say just I want to piggyback on some, on
sure.
the material that Stephen A. brought up. The Kentucky governor, Andy Beshear, he is requesting that Daniel Cameron release the evidence that
the transcripts
and all that stuff.
Make it all public.
From the grand jury. Just complete transparency and also the racial composition of the grand jury, because I think that's important. If we're going to talk
yeah.
about your peers, the makeup of your peers, we need to know what the composition of the grand jury is. moving forward, as far as the topic at hand, I think that especially the NBA, but a lot of these other sports leagues, they've done a tremendous job of bringing attention, almost forcing it on people. Like, damn it, you're gonna hear what we have to say about this particular topic. Because I know there was a, you know, when the NBA was trying to decide, you know, with the whole bubble and how are they going to go about the social initiatives and everything like that. The one thing about this whole situation is in interviews, the games that they play, they've always come back on message, keeping everything about the social initiatives. Because that's what's important. Yes, playing the games and win, and obviously, they, you know, being in the bubble, they're trying to win a championship. But they're not going to let anyone off the hook as far as what we're going to do with our platform. Damn it, we're going to let you guys know this is important, not only for us as individuals, but for our community collectively. And I think that has to continue. I don't know if there's any other things that the players in these leagues can do besides the fact keep reinforcing to everyone out there, exercise your constitutional right to vote, because that's the only way things are going to change. Yes, protesting matters, but it only takes you so far. In order for real change to happen, you got to change laws. You brought up no-knock warrants. You
license to carry.
License to carry.
Stand your ground.
Correct. You know how those things get
vote.
Changed? You vote. You have to vote. You have to vote. The people you want.
How about
want
body in, cameras?
All sorts of issues. Yeah. But these things cannot change unless you participate in the political process and get the type of people you want into office. Because I've said to many people before who say to me all the time, man, my vote doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Well, guess what? When you abstain from voting, the next person steps right in into your void.
The vote does matter. What the white power structure, I was talking about it earlier, during Jim Crow tried to do, was make sure that your vote didn't matter, right? That you didn't matter. If you don't vote, then you don't matter.
Well,
that's the problem.
That's the misinformation that's going on.
That's what's going on right now. Like, if people are angry, be more angry about this. Black people were slaves. Then there had to be federal troops in the South to make sure that you were not treated, that you were actually treated as people. But the South won that. They rolled that back with Jim Crow and basically purged almost all black people from voter rolls during the late 1800s into the 1900s, where you didn't matter politically. And they're trying to do it again. If you're mad as a black person or as a person who's socially conscious about what's going on, be mad about this. They're trying to do it again. And white people are not going to help you by and large. You're going to have to vote. That's going to have to happen. Damien, I don't mean to interrupt if you wanted to say something else about this.
No, like my biggest thing is if you're not going to participate in the political process, then I don't want to hear from you. You are doing a disservice not only to you, but to people before you who were jailed and killed just so we could have this opportunity. That's my biggest thing right now, votes.
And if it doesn't matter, why are they trying so hard to get you to not vote? Why are they trying to disenfranchise you, disenfranchise black people, if voting didn't matter?
In the interest of fairness.
Because it does matter.
In the interest of fairness, they categorically deny that. So let's just make sure we point that out.
But
we don't believe it, but they categorically deny it.
But those who deny it are factually incorrect.
Fine.
And that's the denials are laughable.
There's no debate.
But, okay.
You're not getting any debate from me.
Let me answer the question as to what else athletes can do, okay?
Right, go ahead.
Because they've already done more than their share. Let me tell you something my father told me about, I mentioned him earlier, about, and my parents were in their 20s, basically, in mid-20s during civil rights, right? But let's roll it back to the 50s. Let's talk about Rosa Parks for a second. Father brought this up to me a couple weeks ago. I'm like, Dad, calm down. But he said, look, after Rosa Parks, people were wearing T-shirts. I am Rosa Parks, right? But they're doing that with Kaepernick, right? I am Colin Kaepernick. But that's not enough, and symbols are important. In fact, there was the Montgomery bus boycott. And then at least that changed. Some things started to change. And because of those kind of movements, by 1964, you had the Civil Rights Act. right? Which was an enormous leap forward. My father's telling me all athletes in American sports should refuse to play again until Colin Kaepernick has a job. I said, Dad, what's that going to do? So now Colin Kaepernick, no, symbols are important. What needs to be demonstrated is that the power structure as it currently is that are keeping a group of people down needs to be brought down. And Colin Kaepernick, as a symbol, is important. The fact that he is now still, without even a look, is a message that certain people are empowered and certain people are disempowered.
Sacrifices come with the territory, and I respectfully disagree with you because I don't believe that black...
I disagree, too.
I don't believe that black folks should compromise their economic power because that economic power is what's going to provoke the change that we're looking for. We understand that. As much as reprehensible as we may find that to be, the reality is throughout this nation's history, from slavery on up, the bottom line is this. Any change that has taken place is because we have made sure that folks recognized and ultimately realized it was to their detriment not to make those changes, and it's usually from an economic perspective. That's the way that I view it. That's the way a lot of black people in the black community view it, and that's what I think. But in terms of what should be done, Molly, and I'll give it to you by saying this.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say it again. To me, at this particular moment in time, as bad and as sad as things appear to be, figuratively speaking, there is a light at the end of the tunnel. The fact that all of this is happening now, as you pointed out, with an election on the horizon, it's not just about the presidency, it's about the Senate. Remember, we're having conversations about the Supreme Court right now in terms of filling that ninth seat. So what do you have? Excuse me, guess what? Who you put in the Senate matters. Who you put in Congress, not with the Supreme Court.
Please, at the local level.
Who you put in Congress matters. Who you put in the local level, yeah. Mayor's office, state attorney general's office, et cetera, et cetera. You have the power to not just create, but provoke the change that we're talking about. Are you about the lip service? I don't believe these athletes are. I believe they're about something more than that. But this is not their level of expertise. But they do have the economic cachet. They are connected with those that have both the economic cachet and the know-how and the connections to make things happen. Collaborate with one another. Direct your attention at exactly what you want to address. I just gave you stand your ground, no knock warrants, license to carry. I gave you those things. There's a plethora of other things. If you target exactly what you're after, you can rally the troops and provoke the change that you have been talking about.
Changing laws.
In a position to do it.
Changing
we
policies.
Are in a position to do it.
There's also, by the way, we keep saying vote, vote, vote. Yeah. There's a newsletter called Judd at Popular Information, and there are others like it who point out certain injustices and hypocrisies. Yeah. And by bringing to light companies, including this one, including Disney, that say we support Black Lives Matter, at least the idea that Black Lives Matter, obviously, have been able to bring pressure to bear to divest from advertising and giving money to political campaigns who have expressed the opposite point of view. Economic power, to Stephen A's point about the athlete's platform, is also very important.
Yeah, one last thing I want to say, and I know we need to get to break here, but also when we're talking about what we can do in terms of laws, and I know this is long game, and you can tell me, Molly, it's been 400 years, this is long game, but also investing in our youth in these communities and supporting them as well is another way to ultimately create change. And I know we're talking about down the road, and you're specifically focused on this election. I also want to say to your point of what your father said, the sentiment about Colin Kaepernick, which I find interesting. Many thought when Milwaukee decided to not play that game, it was what's the end game? Oh, maybe they won't come back until the officers are charged for the murder of Breonna Taylor. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they chose to continue on and play. Had they not, we don't know what would have happened. And I also want to mention,
an interesting point.
You gave credit to the NBA, obviously the NFL. I also want to shout out the WNBA because they have been doing a tremendous job.
They've dedicated
their season to Breonna Taylor and say her name in that campaign. And I know they are also hurting today as well.
The only thing that I want to add to that, Molly, is this.
Sure.
Of course, we need to invest in our youth.
Yeah.
But if you don't implement the changes that we just talked about, then those kids that you invest in, you're sending them down a dead-end path.
100%.
Because they will encounter the same problems that we're still talking about and we're still fighting to this very day.
100%. Full disclosure.
So what are we saying? The same thing that LeBron's saying, which is what?
Vote.
Vote.
And full disclosure, I was hosting an event last night for the Boys and Girls Club and the Youth of the Year, and these kids were saying right now they don't feel that their life is valued. So that's why that was also on my mind, to make sure that we're supporting them as well, because they're seeing what's going on, seeing this in the news and feeling like their life is also cheap.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All eyes have been on Eagles quarterback Carson Wentz as both he and his team have struggled with an 0-2 start to the season. Head coach Doug Peterson got into a back and forth with a reporter about his quarterback. Take a listen.
Carson had great protection all day. He wasn't sacked. I think he only got knocked down once. And I know you were asked Monday why he's missing throws, and it's an assortment of reasons. But some of the throws that he's missing are sort of like layups. What could be the reason for some of those easier misses that he's missing?
Have you played quarterback in the National Football League?
I have not, Doug.
Okay. They're not layups. There ain't a throw out here that's a layup. Some of it is just timing with young guys. Some of it is just, you know, Carson just being, you know, not accurate at that particular time. It could be that there's a defensive guy that flashed a hand where he's, you know, got to change his arm angle at the split second. There's all kinds of reasons for accuracy. And these are things that we continue to work on and will continue to work on, you know, the entire season.
All right, Doug Peterson getting a little defensive there in terms of his quarterback, which I understand. And Max, for perspective, this really is an interesting topic because we had the days of it's Wentzylvania, and then he couldn't stay healthy, and then Nick Foles wins the Super Bowl. And then in the second round, they draft Jalen Hurts, which was kind of curious. But what do you really think is the level of concern for Carson at this point?
Level of concern was in the offseason when I told everyone he was no good at the end of last year. Literally, he wasn't good at the end of last year.
But he had no weapons.
And people were acting like he was in the MVP conversation. He had no weapons. He did worse against every one of those sad sack NFC East teams than other quarterbacks in the same division, including backups and rookies, did against those same teams. He breathes life into the opponent. Forget about accuracy, right? Like, arm angle, all that stuff. Come on, Doug Peterson's being a little slick right now. He has to. He's in the middle of a season. This is his quarterback. It's decision-making. It's the fact that Carson Wentz won't run his offense half the time. Carson Wentz is acting like he already has the equity to do that or the judgment to do it. Already? What has he done? Think about the week one of the season. What are you up, 3 scores? The opponent's dead in the water. You breathe life into them with turnovers. Same thing the next week. You have a chance to come back. Turnovers, fumbles, intercept, trying to force things in. He's been his decision making. Forget about the accuracy. He can do things that very few others can do, and make a throw like, oh my God, that's like Mahomes-esque. And then on the next 2 consecutive plays, unlike Mahomes, you're like, what? What was that? And that pass may not have been so accurate. But it's not so much accuracy that I'm really talking about with Wentz. It's decision-making. That's why Jalen Hurts is on the squad. You can't tell, well, they want depth at backup quarterback. Really? You can't go sign a guy for depth at backup quarterback? Yeah, you can. You don't use a second-round pick that you could have packaged to get a receiver if he has no weapons. The best receiver in the draft, you don't keep that to draft a quarterback unless you plan on maybe having to play him. The difference between that and Green Bay is Green Bay was like, yeah, Aaron Rodgers getting older. You know, we have a plan going forward. Mm-hmm. And Aaron Rodgers had a reason to be mad about mm-hmm. that. But Carson Wentz, he's not playing up to his contract. And I'm telling you this right now, unless Jalen Hurts shows nothing in practice, if this continues, it's going to be Hurts' job.
Well, listen, I kind of disagree with you there, but before I do that, I just wanted to take a moment because obviously this is HBCU yes. week, and I wanted to give especially you two a special thanks because last year we had over 1,200 people register, pre-register. We generated over $4 million in scholarships. This year is already over 3,500 that have pre-registered. We're expecting to generate even more, create more scholarships. I know you said you got a daughter at an HBCU, so I love that. Mm-hmm. I just want to thank all of y'all, and that's why that's one of the reasons why Troy Vincent is coming on here. So I just wanted to make sure I mention that. Let me say this.
HBCUweek.org.
That's right. HBCUweek.org.
Yes, that's
right. About true. The 4 million.
Thank you.
Let's beat the 4 million.
Records are made to be broken.
There we go.
Right?
That's right.
Let's get it.
Let me say this to you about Carson Wentz, getting back to him. Here's what I think you're missing. I think you're being kind of unfair to him in this regard. Alshon Jeffrey, Nelson Aguilar, when he was on the team, they weren't there for, they missed like 5 or 6 games respectively. DeSean Jackson only played 3 games. He got hurt the second game of the season. That was his deep threat. He still had Zach Ertz. He still had Goddard. You know what? But the Miles Sanders, the Greg Wards of the world and stuff like that. I mean, what he did last year in propelling the Philadelphia Eagles to the playoffs. I mean, he was working with smoke and mirrors half the time, and somehow, some way, he got them in the postseason. And what does he do? He gets hurt in the first quarter. I think it was like the second possession against Seattle in the playoffs, for crying out loud. Let's think about when Carson Wentz was an MVP candidate. What happened? He goes down. Nick Foles guides them to a Super Bowl title. From that moment forward, there was speculation about Carson Wentz or Nick Foles was where do you go? How do you just get rid of a Super Bowl champion? They kept Nick Foles. Carson Wentz comes back. He was struggling because the injury was nasty. He had to recover from that, tried to overcompensate. He gets hurt again. Nick Foles comes to the rescue again, gets them to the playoffs, gets a huge victory over New Orleans. I think it was it Chicago in the playoffs before they lost to New Orleans, right? It was Chicago when they missed the field goal in the last second and the Eagles won that playoff.
Almost beat New Orleans,
right?
Too.
So what they almost beat New Orleans. So what I'm trying to say is that really what we're talking about with Carson Wentz, it's really about right now. 2 years ago, the injury happened. 3 years ago, rather. Then 2 years ago, it happened again. And then last year, okay, he worked with smoke and mirrors, got him to the playoffs, and an epic collapse that just made my holiday season for the Cowboys to lose before Thanksgiving all the way through Christmas. I mean, my God, it was one of the best holidays I've ever had in my life. I mean, it was just beautiful, okay? But then you have that, and then now here we talk about. I'm not saying you're wrong about what we're seeing about Carson Wentz now. I'm saying it's wrong to act like,
Damian.
Oh, that's what we've been
Damian,
seeing.
Damian, one thing I'll say real quick is I saw this at the end of last year. So did the front office. So did the GM, Howie Roseman, and they acted on it. What I'm seeing now is a continuation of what I saw then. Damian, I'm not seeing anything new. Yeah.
Listen, let me – I'm not a big stats guy. I like – you know, I go where my eyes tell me to go. But I'm going to read a couple stats to you that are kind of eye-opening as far as Carson Wentz is concerned. No QB has thrown more interceptions than Carson Wentz. No QB has been sacked more than Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz has 20 off-target throws, most in the NFL. That's in the first 2 weeks of the season. 8 sacks with no throwaways.
But are the sacks his fault?
And see, it brings me to the next talking point, because a lot of people have talked about, well, they sustained a couple season-ending injuries along the offensive line, and then it's affected the pass protection. That has not been the case. The Eagles' offensive line has done a really good job in pass protection. What we're seeing from Carson Wentz is, A, he hasn't been accurate, and B, he's doing what we call in the NFL hero ball. He's constantly looking for the big play all the time, constantly. Instead of taking that profit on a particular play, he's looking to make the home run. And you can't do that in the National Football League. You just can't do that. And if we go back to when Carson Wentz was injured, do you know that Carson Wentz has just been an average quarterback? 14-15 as has been his record. He has the same QBR as Jameis Winston. During that time. So, listen, Philadelphia is heavily invested in Carson Wentz. Money's going to play a huge factor in this whole thing. We can talk about the stats. We can talk about how Carson Wentz has been playing. But ultimately, money is going to play a huge factor because they've given him, I think, like $110 million guaranteed. That
and then drafted
right there,
a quarterback.
$109.
And then drafted a quarterback.
They drafted a quarterback in the second round. But, Max, here's what I'm going to say. And I actually said this on Get Up, actually, that I think at some point this season, Jalen Hurts is going to start.
This is what I've been saying.
But here, what I'm saying is the money, the economics is going to
loom
large.
Real quick, what you said about
situation.
The clean pocket, you brought up. I was going to mention this. 20 off-target throws leads the NFL. By the way, he's also second to last in passer rating, and he's like third or fourth to last in yards per attempt. But the 20 off-target throws, 15 from a clean pocket. Three quarters of the time, the pocket's clean and he's still off target.
He's been sacked 137 times in his career, eight times thus far this season in just two games. Again, I'm not refuting what anybody is saying about what they're seeing from him in these two games. I'm just saying, wait a minute, let's put it in perspective compared to what we saw in the past. There were mitigating circumstances in the past that dictated that. This year, he's just been awful.
And what I'll say to wrap it all up, I don't think any moves going to be made right now. We still the month of September is like preseason. Right. People still working things out.
Let's see if he can outplay Joe Burrow. If they get another L now to the Bengals, maybe things will change.